Hey guys, it's Madison from On the Block. This week's guest is one of my favorites to ever play the game. Her personality was huge and bright and funny all of season 19, and I'm excited to share my chat with the Elena Davies. Stay tuned because you do not want to miss it. She does not hold back.
I'm Austin, and this is On the Block, a podcast about Big Brother.
Okay, well, not that anyone cares, but I guess we have personal news.
Yeah.
I got LASIK, which was cool.
Woo woo.
And we're moving to LA.
We're moving to LA, let's go.
Which is super exciting. We'll be very close to the Big Brother house. Well, I guess technically we will be very close to the Big Brother house.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool. We also took like a week off technically, kind of not planned for, but I think the weeks that we are going to recap, I needed a break because I was so emotionally exhausted from the turmoil we were put through by Kyland. So
it never ends.
That is why we did not have an episode last week. Also was trying to lock down a stellar interview, and I got one, so I think we just kind of were like, let's just wait, and we obviously have a lot going on. So if you listen and care, there you go. And if you don't know us that well, you can follow us on stuff.
Nice. Big shout out.
And then you might care more. I don't know. But if you're listening to this, you probably don't care. So let's get into Big Brother stuff. Okay, so Kyland was HOH. At this point, the last time we spoke to you, the cookout was the final six, which was super exciting. We were very happy.
Yeah.
We were, you know, okay, we're not only going to have a black winner, but it's going to be someone, hopefully, that deserves to win the game in general.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, now we're at a point where...
not a lot of...
that's potentially not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, Kyland was HOH and nominated Hannah and Tiffany, which... people are like, oh, that was expected, but it kind of wasn't because he was also working with them. He sort of had deals with everyone, so it could have gone either way. At the end of the day, I know that he had his weird things with Tiff, but I do think that if he had really sat back and thought about it, it was best for his game to keep her. So I was sort of like, eh, could go either way. But he ended up showing his cards. He put Tiff and Hannah on the block. And then he also won the fucking veto, which...
annoying.
Was so annoying and sealed the fate of Tiffany. I think at this point everyone knew, but Tiffany went out fighting, which of course she did. She's America's player. She was not going to go out without a fight. She's the reason the cookout made it to Final Six. So her going out at sixth place is like such a stab in the back.
Yeah.
And at this point, I am like... I wish there wasn't a cookout, and I'll tell you why. I think Tiff and Hannah could have made it to Final Two.
Which would have been awesome.
Deservingly so, had there not been a cookout. They had better social games with everyone. They were friends with everyone. They had people who would have taken them to that point had they not been able to take themselves. And then they wouldn't have had so much weird beef with Kyland and Derek F.
Yeah, because they probably would have just got him out earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. So, I don't know. At this point, I'm like, why is there a cookout? We could still have a black winner. We could still have a black final too. Without all the drama and without all of this, like, people who are winning no comps getting to the end. So, I'm getting frustrated at this point. I understand the mission, but I think the mission could have been achieved another way. And then we would have had a female black winner and a female black final too. I think... based off of how Derek X and Claire reacted to the news of the cookout, I think had they gotten to a Final Four and Tiff and Hannah sat down with them in a room, they would have been like, you two go.
Yeah.
Like, I really think that. So, I don't know. That's just where I'm at because I'm so frustrated at this point, even then and even now. So, Tiff goes home. Well, it's a double eviction night. So, Azza wins HOH, which... could have been, like, the best thing for everyone, but especially Hannah.
Yeah.
And then somehow she nominates Hannah and Xavier for eviction, and Kylan wins the veto. And like the stupid game player he is, I won't say he's a stupid person because I'll only criticize people's games. He was so stupid. He took Xavier off the block. The biggest competitor, the one person who's going to win, he saved him. Why? Why? Why?
Yeah, he has some kind of weird loyalty. But he, I mean, one, he never really stuck to his word to anybody the whole game.
Well, and that's what's frustrating is he criticized Tiffany for going back on deals or being sneaky or not being able to be trusted. Meanwhile, he was doing that to everyone.
The whole
time. I mean, he blindsided Tiff by putting her on the block. So it's like, what? Yeah, super annoying. So it's Big D and Hannah on the block. And yeah, I mean, it's obvious what's going to happen here. So unanimously, Hannah gets sent home right after Tiffany. It is like, this point, it's brutal to watch. No one wants to see. They're like adding in extra episodes. There's like a Friday night episode. There's all this stuff going on. And it was like, no one wants to watch this. I think had it been Tiff and Hannah.
Yeah, it'd be fun to watch.
And Aza. Get out the guys. Yeah, yeah, in the house. It would have been a fun week to watch all these extra episodes. But I was like, I literally cannot watch this. So I think we didn't even watch when they were live. We like watched them later. It was just
way later, yeah.
Brutal. So, then we have an Xavier HOH shocker with the people left in the house. It's no wonder that Xavier wins HOH. He nominates, I don't even remember at this point. He nominates Aza and Kylan.
Uh-huh.
And then he wins the veto and doesn't use it. So, Kylan kind of knows, like, he's going home.
Yeah.
But in some weird way, he just, like, assumes he's safe because he's just like that. But I think he kind of, in the back of his mind, was like, well, I mean, I'm on the block, so it's possible. But he really thought that the guys were going to, like, stick to their final three. I'm just grateful. The only saving grace of this whole two-week span is that they sent Kylan home.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, he had to go. He was so annoying. His exit was just excruciating to watch. Like, it's a game. What? Like, what? I was just like, oh my god, you're like just such a like.
Oh, the way he was like attacking Xavier
and his nephew and like his character and like, oh, I can't believe you would do that. Like, blah blah blah. I'm like, bro, like everyone lies and cheats in this game. You've lied. You backstab people. Everyone
the
does
whole
it.
Game, yeah. It's a game at the end of the day. And he's attacking his personal...
a game. And, I mean, I tweeted this. I was like, Kylan's exit was his tweets, like, coming to life.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
All of
it
his...
It makes sense. I mean, this says a lot about his character as a person.
Yeah.
Like, again, I don't want to attack him as a person.
I agree.
But it says a lot about
no,
who
I
he is.
No, I totally agree. I think it's... yeah, it's such an exhibit of, like, who he is and what he thinks about. Not only himself, but, like, how other people should treat him.
Yeah.
Is just absolutely crazy to me. Yeah, so weird. And now I'm seeing this debacle unfold on Instagram about Kylan having, like, DF's, like, dad's ring. And he kept it and put it in his pocket. And now everyone's in the house looking for it. And Xavier's like, no, like, Kylan totally has it. Like, I'm very excited to see if we get that unfolding anywhere.
Yeah. Well, one, I want him to get his ring back because that's a
totally.
Huge
but
thing
I
want to
know what happens with it.
Yeah. Oh, I hope. Okay. So, I mean, it's leaning towards one person, but I hope that person gets called out.
Same.
And
same.
Has to own up to it.
Totally. I really hope that.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at. We have a final three of one person who has won a bajillion competitions. We have one person who has won zero competitions. And one person who has, at the moment, won two competitions. It's really weird. At this point in time, we are about to tonight, I think, watch the first part of the HOH. Mm-hmm. And maybe the second. But Xavier wins the first part of the HOH comp. So he wins the first one where all three of them compete. Then it's Azza and DF. And whoever wins that competes against Xavier. And Azza wins. Thank God. I've seen posts where it was like the treadmill number thing. I'm not exactly sure. I guess we'll see. But Azza and Xavier will compete on finale night in a question competition for who wins HOH and decides who to take. We know at this point either one of them is taking Derek F. So this truly is a competition of who is going to win $750,000. Like, it's between the two of them. Whoever wins that competition wins the money and goes home with it. This is the first time in a long time that the third person hasn't been strategically placed there to ensure someone else wins. So it is the first time since like season, I'm going to butcher this, early teens, that whoever wins this comp will win the game. So it'll be really interesting to see. I mean, I think back, of course, to season 16, freaking Derek, who made sure Cody won.
Yeah.
So that he could cut Victoria. Mm-hmm. So that Derek didn't have to, and then Cody lost. And this is what's kept happening. The winner takes someone and then they lose, or the winner takes someone and they already know they're winning. Like, it's just, this is the first time where whoever wins, or first time in a while.
Yeah.
Whoever wins, they know they're going to freaking win.
Yeah.
So it's going to be crazy. It's going to be wild to watch. It makes finale night a little bit more exciting. I think it would have been boring if it was like Derek F and X, because we know they're both going. Those finales can be really boring. So this one is very exciting, but also has me on the edge of my seat, because if I have it my way, unfortunately for Xavier, who has played an incredible game, I would rather Azza win.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Just personal. It's all personal at this point. I'm just going to say.
He's played a great game to get.
100%. And I respect the game of Big Brother, obviously. And I love this game. And I think in 99% of cases, I would say the better game player would win. But if I was in the jury, I would be voting for Azza based on, if this season is about representation, not only is the blackest woman left in the house, but if she makes it to the end, I want her to win.
That would be awesome.
It would be amazing. Because I think we've kind of thrown away good game this year. Like, it's not about that. It's about a black winner. And I want Azza to be that winner. So I think if we're kind of looking at it from that perspective, that's where I'm at. The chaos it would cause if Derek F won or X won would make my dramatic heart happy. But I want Azza to go home with the money.
Yeah, I agree.
And vote Tiffany to 97979 every day Wednesday. Tiffany must win America's Favorite House Guest, or I will never make a podcast for her again.
Don't take her word for that.
She's going to win. She's going to win. Yeah, I'm excited for this to be over. I am ready for the season to be over, like most people probably at this point. It turned into just true chaos, which we knew it would when it got down to the final six. But it was way different kind of chaos than I was expecting.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyways. Okay, I want to get to the end of this because I'm so freaking excited. This episode is going to be like 100 years long. But you guys, Elena Davies, one of my favorite people to play this game for the sole purpose. She was just absolutely entertaining. She was an entertainer before she was on the show. She was super entertaining on the show. She's even more entertaining now. I am so grateful that I was able to talk with her. I mean, I still can't believe it. I'm just so excited. So here is my interview with Elena freaking Davies.
Well, I dressed up for you. I appreciate it. I almost did it, my interview in bed as well, just because I figured that you would be in bed, but I'm sitting up. It's okay.
Well, you're the pro today. Honestly, I would use my office more if it wasn't an absolute chaotic shit show in there, slash had Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah. That's tough.
That'll do it. You know, that'll just really do it. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you see me?
I can see you. This is, I mean, thank you for doing this. I am like so excited.
Isn't it cute that I even offered?
I mean, I honestly was like, I had this hole when I emailed you like the details, I read it to my boyfriend and I was like, should I say all of this? And he was like, cut that out of that email. I was like, I was going to message you, but then I didn't think you would like be interested. So I just didn't ask. So yeah, I'm just like,
well, your message was just so sweet. And I barely remember it now because it's been like, what, 2 weeks? No, I actually still do. Because you said I was one of your favorites ever, right?
No, truly. I mean, it's funny. I was thinking about this. Long story short, we've been up since 5 a.m. because we were like in another city and we drove back so that I could chat with you this morning.
Oh my God, why? Why? We could have literally done this any other time.
No, it's totally fine. But I was thinking about it and I was like, I don't even know why I like Big Brother, because every year I have like one favorite. And then I'm like, why do I like the show when I like one person every year, but I keep watching the show? And
you gotta find your one.
Yeah. You were my, I'm like, I'm thinking back to like, okay, 19. I'm like, you, Josh. Like, I don't know who else I really like.
We were your favorites for my season.
100%.
It's what's so funny is we didn't work together at all. You know, obviously you watched. I mean, we've had a decent friendship in the house, kind of like more of, it's definitely different than our friendship now. I think it's just a little bit more of like a, how do I say this? I knew he liked me, right? And he was so young then. I mean, I guess we were both younger then, but yeah.
But he was like, what, he's 3 years younger than you.
Yeah, maybe four. I should really know this better. I want to say he was like 20. I want to say he was 23 and I was 26. So yeah, that makes sense. And then from like day two or three, he was just this like crying chaotic mess. So not that there's like a hierarchy at any point, he obviously won, but, and I did not. but there was just this different dynamic and, totally. And now it's cool to be friends with people, not in a game, cause you really get to know who they are. And I would have never expected Josh to be one of my favorites based on my season, based on the time I spent in the house. He is truly probably my closest friend from my season. Jess and Cody kind of don't count to me. They feel more like family. I probably talk to Josh more, but I mean, they're busy. Jess and Cody are busy. They've like, yeah, are raising other humans.
Right.
I can't imagine. They're just like, they will always be some of the most important people in my life ever to me. But yes, I adore Josh. And I love that you loved us. It's just funny to me to think that we didn't work together at all, but you liked us both. And that's actually a semi-popular opinion. Like, I hear that more and more, that it's Elena and Josh. I like Elena and Josh. I'm like, what? Can I cuss on your podcast? Can I cuss on your podcast?
Oh, please. Please.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, yes, please. no, but you brought like personality, and then he brought personality as well, but in like a, he brought chaotic the drama. Way. Yeah, the chaos. And so I like love that. I mean, like in a weird way, that's why I have this like love-hate relationship with Kylan this season, because I'm like, I hate you, but you're bringing something to the show that like makes me want to continue watching.
Yeah. Like how boring would it have been this season without some Kylan wildness, you know? It makes me wish that Frenchie stayed longer.
You know, same. And that's a very unpopular opinion. I actually from jump was like, wait, I like this guy. Like he seems like very cool. Not this like, I don't know. He didn't seem like the typical like country white guy. So I was like, wait, I like the dynamic he's bringing to the table. And then it was like, oh, you're crazy.
Yeah. Like you're literally doing not just too much, you're doing everything. And then like a little bit more. And
like week one.
Yeah. Like you have not been there for 7 business days and you have already made a final 2 with everyone. Like I honestly, I couldn't love it more because he came in as this Big Brother super fan, this part of the Big Brother fandom, Mr. Big Brother Twitter McGee. He's making all these promises to feedsters. And I love it because every person that just sits and watches us from the internet is like, I could do that. I can't believe it. It's stupid. Elena's a fucking dumb bitch because she did that. And I'm like, well, first of all, y'all are missing about 23 extra hours of stuff going on in the day. Even if you have live feeds, you're still missing a lot of stuff because there's only 2 cameras. And I don't think they really like to put it on me as much as they should have, TBH. And so I just love that he came in with that same kind of confidence that like, I'm going to be able to play this game. I'm a super fan. I know how it works. And he gets in and he just fucking blows up. I'm like, yeah. So that's just a message to Twitter. To the Big Brother fandom, no, you cannot. Okay.
Truly. I mean, it's hard. I mean,
I'm sorry. I just really noticed that I have like a very serious alfalfa situation, not just on my hair, but like coming out of my bun from my hair.
Honestly, and you should leave that.
I was actually coming up here to fix it. And then I was like, no, that's too cool. It's staying
like
the rest of the
interview.
That's
like a Met Gala look.
Oh my God. I am iconic always. It's like, even when I don't try to be iconic, I'm iconic. I'm just sitting here. Like I literally have not brushed my hair, brushed my teeth. I'm still wearing my pajama shirt, which shout out Chelsea Lynn. And I still am like serving looks.
It's true. It's true. Wow. And this is why I wanted you on this podcast. This is just like, so crazy to me. I have said this multiple times. I truly only want to be on Big Brother to become friends with people who were on Big Brother, because I feel like you kind of become part of this like squad. And I'm like, I don't care if I make it past day one. I just need to be friends with these people.
No, here's the thing. You have to make it past day one. Like we don't let you into the squad unless you make it at least past day one.
At Travis, sorry. Dear Travis, I'm so sorry. You actually weren't on Big Brother. It doesn't count.
I honestly feel really bad for all the day ones, like my season Cameron, season before Glenn, like the people that literally spend months prepping, planning, casting, and then they're in the house for 6 hours.
That's great. I would be so sad.
It's devastating. Like
I feel like that's worse, yeah, than like making it far and then getting out. Cause you're like, wait, I didn't even get to do anything.
You don't get to make one game move. Like no one knows anything. You're just basically day one getting, especially my season was all luck. You gotta pick the apple or, you know, Paul doesn't like you from a first impression. Like, thank God I brought in a cheese sandwich because what else am I gonna say to him?
That was the friendship bracelet.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. So we had to convince him to save us after having known us for 45 minutes. And then the people that he didn't save have to pick an apple based on some riddles.
Oh, yeah.
And then determines their fate if they're safe. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's a lot of luck. And then you don't know who to vote off. I'm like, kind of wanted to vote off Christmas, if I'm being honest.
Bye.
It's just like, you're going to do pretty well in comps and you're obviously like socially pretty cool. Cause I liked her. Like
voted her out.
We kind of connected quickly. So I was like, so you have a social game, a physical game.
Yeah.
How smart are you?
Well, so I guess that's my question.
I didn't vote her out.
Dang.
Yeah. What's your question?
My question is, looking back, is it smart to break deals? Because probably more often than not, the people you're making deals with are smart, good at social games. Like they're your competitors. So like what's happening kind of this season is all these people are like, I want to take the best to the end. And I'm like, why? Like to lose? Like take the floater to the, take the Victoria, take the Derek F. Why would you want to take a good person to the end? Did you ever think about like, I guess Mark would have been your ally, but would you have been like, I got to get him out?
That's interesting. That's a good question. And it's funny that you bring that up now, because I was actually in a really deep dive thought cycle of my own surrounding this last night, not about Big Brother, about Survivor. Do you watch Survivor?
Yes.
So I love Survivor. I love Survivor more than I love Big Brother. I've been trying to kill this bug in my room for days. Didn't get him. Okay. Take that for me. Yeah. Another comp I can't win. So I'm watching season 31 of Survivor right now. I'm actually have one episode left. It won't play. This is madness. I'm like just trying to mind my own business, find out who wins this shit. And the reunion, find out the winner episode, the last winner just plays the previous episode before. But I see Kelly Whitworth's face in a glitter dress and straight hair and mascara. And I'm like, you're like, no, you're not in Cambodia, bitch. So why can't I find out who wins this season without Googling it? Pissing me off. But there's a lot of talk this season, especially towards the end, about like who you want to take to the end. And, you know, it's actually sometimes dangerous to leave a floater in the game because somebody else probably has that same mindset. Like, ooh, I want to get this other person out so I can sit next to this floater at the end. So now they're doing what they can to literally save a floater, which would be taking your spot out. So then people's defense or like counter argument is like, but I mean, this game, like we've been playing a loyal game and like, what's that going to look like if you like break deals? And like, I mean, is it really that cool to win sitting next to someone who didn't play? Like, don't you want to win against them? And I'm like, everything about the social dynamics of Survivor and Big Brother, which they are very similar. It's conceptually basically the same game, except for they get paid more and film way less, but also could die. You can make an argument for anything. Anything can be an argument, because if you're still there, there's a reason you're still there. So yeah, for me, I would have struggled with that, because Mark really was my only ally. Like, we sat in the middle of the house in the sense that we really liked Jess and Cody, would have rather worked with them. But like, if you admit that to the other people on the side of the house that have most of the numbers and power, they're going to target you next. Mm. So we're kind of trying to play this. No, yeah, we totally are. Yeah. Alex and Paul. Rock on, right here with you. And then same retweet. And then Jess and Cody, like we couldn't even, anytime we would sit there and talk to them, it's like the whole rest of the house was like, yeah. So it's hard to play that. And Mark really would have been my only true ally, that person that I have been linked up with basically from the beginning, that I could trust and trusted me.
And he would have taken you. So
he probably would have taken me. I would have wanted to take him to honor that, because you're literally the only other person I played with. But at the same time, I have that thought, like, why am I going to bring the other person that had a similar game to me? He had won a veto. That's why I got evicted. So like, he had a better resume in that sense. I think I probably had a better social game, but yeah, I probably would have been like trying to sit next to Josh, because I would have been like, that guy is chaos. He got here because we brought him here, because everybody was just like, better keep Josh around, bigger target, could always convince someone to vote about next week. Would be great to sit next to him in the end, because he hasn't done anything. He's just like Paul's shield and like, you know, messenger man. And then Josh blew us away with what he said at finale. You know, like, yeah. I expected Paul to really convince me to vote for him on finale night. And he didn't. He didn't own up to his game. He didn't say like how he got there. And so I was just confused. I'm like, did you get here by accident, or did you do these things? And he's like, no, I didn't bully her. I didn't do that. Like, no. And I'm like, so then what did you do? How'd you get here? And then Josh comes out of nowhere with, I'm a super fan. I've been watching this game since day one, listening all his like past vet faves, you know, saying that this was a strategy and that was a strategy and he wanted to do. And I'm like, oh, so you actually had a plan. Your goodbye messages were good. Like, it really clicked for me on finale night for Josh. And I would have definitely lost sitting next to Josh, you know? So you never really know. But that's the scary thing about having a jury, is everybody's opinion is different. you know, like somebody might be basing their vote mainly on comp wins. Someone might be basing it more on like a social strategy or like, you know, subtle moves or big blind sides, like, or someone might base it on, yeah, like loyalty. This is, you have to have your alliances. You stayed true to your alliance and made it to the end, like Tyler and Angela and Casey. You know, there was obviously Tyler and Angela are boning, but he didn't take her.
Yeah.
That could have been an extra $50,000 for Tangela Inc. You know what I mean? No, $500,000. I forgot. He didn't win. She didn't win. I mean, I like knew that obviously, but
one of them would have won. I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's like that, they would have had $550,000 plus Tyler probably still would have been America's favorite. It would have been a season 16 Derek situation where you're like, okay, you really made it out of here with all the money.
Literally, you took all the money. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think maybe that might be why some of the people voted for Tyler, because he did do his like West Coast, East Coast, Coast to Coast thing. And stayed with Casey. I don't know. Everyone. Yeah. And here's the other thing to notice. And I said this on live feed when it hit me. I was talking to Jessica and I was like, you know, you're going through this Big Brother casting process and you're like, okay, there's a lot of people that want to be on the show, right? Like so many, like hundreds of thousands probably are applying to be on the show. So you get into the casting process and like, they're like callbacks and then finals. And then here, let me take up most of your blood. And then you get there and you're like, man, I'm in, like, I must have like the it factor. Like mm-hmm. I have it, you know, they always talk about having the it factor in like entertainment. What the fuck's the it factor? Like, I really don't know. But I thought I had it. I was like, turns out LOL seventh grade, a biology teacher. I do have the it factor. No, what I had was several mood disorders. Okay. And so did most of us. All of us were fucked up. We are not mature people. We've got something crazy going on. We do not have any control over our emotions. Like there is something that we are bringing to the table and that's it. It's not the it factor. It's just like mental health problems and like past traumas and like inability to cope. And then we are trapped in a house together. So yeah, like what are you playing with? Crazy people. You can't trust that. What are you going to vote for? I don't fucking know.
Yeah, that's I'm crazy. A great point. I mean, yeah, it is so interesting because I was even talking about this about something else, but I was like, okay, people who go on reality TV are a certain type of people to begin with, right? Because they're willing to put themselves out in front of the world and say, this is who I am. And
they're narcissistic enough to think that it's going to go well for them.
Yes.
Okay. So, like, so we're all that narcissistic as well.
100%. So X, right, is a lawyer. I'm like, I would never hire you to be my lawyer after watching you on reality TV. Like if you're a radio host, perfect gig for you. If you want to be an influencer, perfect gig for you. If you're you're an attorney at law. Sorry, I don't want you handling any of my stuff.
Yeah, he might be better suited for like an attorney at Biscuits, you know, after this. Have you seen that meme or whatever it is where it's like, why do they tell us it's an attorney at law? So I don't think it's like an attorney at dresser drawer. Like,
literally, obviously. I'm like, I would never hire you to do any of that after seeing you on reality TV.
And that was a big, point that people made for Nick, whatever season that was, 21, because he worked with mental health and kids. And it was like, people were like, why are we, you know, how? And it honestly, it goes to show this too. And how old are you?
I'm 26.
Okay. So you're getting to that point in life where you start to realize that, you know, when you're younger and you think everybody older, like has it together and something clicks and you're just like figured it all out. You definitely know like what equity is and you like file your taxes and stuff. That's actually not true. So what happens as you age is nothing. Your knees hurt a little bit more. You might have like some emergency spine surgery, but nothing really is different. You're more aware of stuff. Yes, I have learned things. I am smarter than I was at 26, but I am no more capable of doing anything now than then. And I don't remember where I was going with this. What were we talking about?
I don't know, but I love that. That's really inspiring.
It is. So, well, it's kind of actually really depressing because you realize that you have no hope for the future.
But neither does anyone else.
So it's neither does anyone else. Exactly. And I really had a point for that, but cheers to my ADHD. Amen. I don't remember what it was. I really don't remember. I do this once every podcast. I literally fantastic. Like, so what are we talking about? I know this is like my podcast, but like, what's the topic?
Yeah, what are we
every week on my podcast? Every week on my podcast.
No, I love it. I mean, okay. So I guess like just generic questions would be like, would you ever go back in that crazy house?
Yeah. Because I'm crazy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I would do anything for any amount of money essentially. So I get it.
Yeah. And honestly, to your point earlier too, I'm not super duper dumb. Like I went into that with, I feel like I was realistic. You know, I was nervous. I was like, they're not going to put me on the show. Turns out I was the first one cast for the show. Like I came into this with as low expectations as possible as to not be disappointed. So then I get on the show and I'm like, all right, Elena, hold your horses. Maybe put half your personality in your back pocket. Don't yell at people. At least not right off the bat. And you'll maybe make it to like top five. You might even like swing an America's Favorite if, you know, they do you the favor of giving you a decent edit and like definitely air all your jokes. That was my thought. I didn't think I was going to win Big Brother. I mean, obviously wanted to really badly. It wasn't going to not try 100% as hard as I could, everything I could do to win. But being realistic, I was like, probably not going to win. So let's just
make the most of it.
Yeah. Make the most of it. And maybe they will air some of your jokes. And you'll get a really good radio job after this. You know, like I just wanted to get back into radio and I needed to leave the show I was at. Big Brother offered me the opportunity. It was like all just a perfect timing. Doors are closing and opening. And I was like, yeah, people are going to be like across the US. Like that's the funniest girl I've ever seen in my life. We've got to get her on the radio. That happened not at all. You know,
which is shocking to me, but.
Yeah. Oh, I remember what I was going to say about being old. So tied into that. It's like these people that are lawyers and work with mental health and are like teachers. The thing that's interesting when you get to the age of like 30, 31 and especially if you're friends with people, like I have friends that are like teachers and I know what they do when they're not teaching. But that's what it is for everyone. So it's like, X is putting himself out there. Like he's probably a fantastic lawyer. He's probably does some not perfect human things outside of being an attorney at law, but nobody knows that. So they're still confident in hiring him. He comes across as like this smart, super great guy because we can all do that to some extent, especially in our field. But yeah, now he put himself out there. So people, but also it's Big Brother. So now everybody is going to be like, all the Big Brother fans are going to be like, Can you please get me divorced? Mm. Thanks. You know?
Yeah.
And it's such a.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's a toss up.
When you were voting for the winner, cause I think this is kind of coming up when I talk with people now is like, okay, I guess they don't know that X is a lawyer at this point. I don't know if he will reveal that in his final speech. I think he should, but then I'm also like, will they say you don't need the money?
Yeah, that's another thing. That was a big topic of conversation on our season too, because, and something that people were saying about Paul, like, does Paul really need the money? I'm like, probably not. But like, does that mean he's less deserving to win than someone else? Like, are we going to like disregard all of his abilities and the way that he like maneuvered this game because he already has some money? Even Alex threw that in my face after I stole $5,000 from her when I won the veto comp. Oh yeah, I did have a decent resume. Well, okay, you can't say decent for one win, Elena, shut the fuck up. But she literally came to me afterwards yelling at me, like, what kind of car do you drive? I know you don't need this money as much as I do. And I'm like, okay, then why didn't you win the comp? You know, like I don't think and I definitely wasn't rich. I work for a radio station. They don't pay us well.
Yeah, I used to work for a news station, so I totally get it.
It's a very paycheck to paycheck lifestyle. But my family is middle class. Like if something terrible happened, my mom would toss me $100, you know?
Right.
But yeah, there's, that is always discussed, especially behind people's backs. I was really surprised that that came full frontal to me. Like, yeah, you're rich, you don't need money. You went to a private school and you drive an Audi. What? I am broke because I drive an Audi. How is right. that more evident to you? The only money I have goes to, so I look cool driving around town. Okay. $30,000 millionaire over here. Help me out.
Yeah, no, that's a great point that provides so much perspective. I mean, even like, I think about like the doctors I know who are like, yeah, I'm in med school, but I'm not going to make money until I'm 50 because I have to pay off my loans. And you
and
know,
that's why they smoke weed when they're off work. And it's just the way you have to get through life, because I mean, I would be bummed if my neurosurgeon came in and was like, "Whew, sorry, I'm late, was just really high this morning." You know what I mean? Like, don't be yeah. honest about that stuff. Like, make me feel like you're confident and you know what you're doing. But more than likely, like, you do dumb shit on the weekends. Like, you probably still yeah. get blackout drunk or like, you know,
it's so true. That's true. It's a good point.
But don't lead with that, you know?
Yeah. Don't tell me that.
The money thing is always, it's literally everything. And that's what I think makes Big Brother and Survivor so intense, is that everything you do could either be used against you or be used as a reason to push you forward. Mm-hmm. Everything. I could probably, if you break down every scenario in Big Brother history, dang it, didn't get him again.
That was close. I believe that was close.
That one actually was the closest. I could probably talk my way into how it would be bad for that person and how it would be good for that person.
Yeah. Oh, I would have loved to hear your final two speech.
It would have been baller.
You would have won, I think, just because of your ability to speak. Well, like,
that's
you could
what
have
I thought
been
about
like,
Paul. He's such a great speaker. He's so smart. He's got a way with words.
I don't know. I just feel like I maybe it was the edit, and I know some people don't watch back their season, so I don't know if you've seen it. Mm-hmm. But like, I
have no idea anything about my season. I watched one episode last week and it like truly triggered me, and I'm still recovering from it. So I have no idea how I was portrayed. I don't know.
You were portrayed well, but like, I hated Paul. Still to this day, I hate him from just watching him. I know mm-hmm. nothing about him on a personal level. I don't follow him on any sort of social media. From his two seasons, the edits made me just absolutely hate him. And I think if he had given like the best speech ever, I still would have been like, nope, you're not doing it for me.
Yeah. And my season, well, maybe every season is pretty polarizing, but my season is very polarizing in the sense that we really had a house divided from the beginning. And you either really liked like me and Mark and Jess and Cody more, or you really liked like Paul and Alex and Josh more. And so all the fans come up to me and they're like, "Hey, nice, can I get a picture, blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Yeah, of course." And they're like, "Paul should have won." And I'm like, "If he should have won, he would have won, my man."
Oh my like, gosh. Still to this day?
Oh yeah, for sure. And then there's people that come up to me and they're like, "You are a queen. I know you're one of the deciding votes of why Josh won. Like, thank you. It made it the best season ever. Like, the craziest finale ever. Like, I hate Paul. Like, I love you. I'll stan you forever." And I'm like, man, it's just really very polarizing.
It's true. That's true.
A very split. Not a lot of people. Now, that's why I think it was interesting to discuss how you liked Josh and me. Not a lot of people have that opinion. But there are, I can think of like five off the top of my head, which is not a lot. That's not a lot. It's not a popular opinion, which I think I called it that earlier. That's not, I mean, I get it personality wise, but that's not that common for people mm-hmm. to like two people from each side of the house. And I get it. I'm curious how I would have felt as a fan watching my season. I think I would have agreed with myself in liking myself.
No, I definitely think so. I mean, everyone that I know who is like a huge fan of the show is like, I think after his, was that Paul's second season? No, that was his second season. I think, because mm-hmm. I remember vividly making my Facebook cover photo a photo of Paul finding out Josh won. And I think I made the caption like, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Like, it was like a happy and like all my friends were like, yeah, like, yay. Like, people did not like
it. Yeah. And I think that is more, I think as far as it being polarizing, and maybe it's more because, especially now, I hear from people that love me more than hate me right in after the season. It's like both, it's a lot of both. But I feel like that was the more popular side of things, was people disliking Paul and the way he played, just, I think, a moral standpoint of it, of just like the bullying and stuff like that. But I've never seen it all back. I've seen a lot of live feed clips, and I get a lot of different opinions from people who speak to me about my performance on the show. Some people are like, yeah, you just kind of came across like at a meet and greet. I'll speak to someone for a little bit and they're like, man, you're really smart and like quick. And that's not how you seemed on the show. You seemed kind of like ditzy and like silly. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a silly person, but like, I wouldn't really describe me as ditzy. Like, did I come across as ditzy? And then there's other people that are like, oh, you were just riding Paul's coattail. Just everything Paul wanted, you did. You were just obeying orders. And I'm like, that's how it made it seem. And then other people come up to me and they're like, thank you for being one of the only people on your season that wasn't a sheep and did your own thing and tried to play a game and get Paul out. And I'm like, okay, so what did I do? Which one is it? I mean, I know what I physically did in real life.
Yeah, no, I definitely feel like
make it look like I did.
I feel like the latter is definitely true. I mean, you get to a point where like, especially in the beginning, I feel like you have to go with the house to like kind of get, you know, a little ways up, because you don't want to be like going off the deep end at the beginning.
Oh, I'm definitely not going to lie to you. I believed Paul and thought that me and Paul had a good connection, because we did, like, as people. I actually am friends with him again now. We don't talk about Big Brother, but I adore him as a human.
Yeah.
As a friend, we have a similar comedy and our personalities are a little bit parallel and we enjoy each other. I definitely believed him for the first 3 weeks, for sure. It was week four when I gave up my HOH to Alex that I started getting some
weird vibes.
Granted, if I had won that HOH, wouldn't have even been able to put Paul up if I wanted to, because that was his last week of safety. But it took me 4 weeks to figure out really what he was doing and how he was playing the game with literally everyone. Mm-hmm. And at that point, what do? I tell him,
I think it's,
hey, Paul, I'm on to your shit.
Yeah.
Well, I can't do that. They're going to target me next.
100%. And it's interesting because if you removed like one person from that house and replace them with someone else, it could be a totally different dynamic. And I think that's what's so interesting is like, when I talk about people, I'm always like, I hope they realize I'm like talking about them from like a game standpoint and not like in real life, because like,
oh, we do.
I mean, like if you had, let's say Mark wasn't on your season, how different the whole dynamic mm-hmm. would have been. And like, you could have gotten out first, you could have made it to the end, like somewhere in the middle, you could have been best friends with Paul. Like, you never know mm-hmm. the dynamics. That
if Megan hadn't self-evicted, if Christmas hadn't broken her foot and stayed in the game, which I thought was not cool. So many things. I met someone that was basically Ramsey's, excuse me, alternate. If he would have been in instead of like everything could have been so different. And even just certain HOH wins. Like, I really wanted Jessica. She won HOH, then she won veto. She had all the power that week and she had up Josh and Ramsey's. And I'm like, you are a dumb person right now, because take Ramsey's off and put up Alex, because you never know what's going to happen. She was even worried about hinky votes. And she was, and at first I wasn't, I was like, no, why would anybody keep Joe? It's just so annoying. Like, bye. We don't even want to be in jury with him. Get him out of here.
How different that would have been.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm like, and then she started getting nervous and I'm like, dude, well, if you're this nervous, like, I would have rather just not even risked Ramsey's, because he was somebody that we kind of had a low key thing going on. Not everybody knew that him and I were close and had been kind of working together.
He was smart. He would have helped a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And Paul really didn't like him because he wasn't following Paul, and he was a little sneaky. He would like be sneaking around the house, like trying to hear things. And Paul noticed that. So then he starts saying, we got to get Ramses out. So it was Paul that wanted Ramses out. And it was Paul that wanted Josh to stay because he was using Josh. And I'm like, put Alex up instead of Ramses. That way it's not a risk. Nope. Didn't do it. Then we lose him. Right. So that's terrible. The next HOH, I should have won. The HOH that night after that eviction would have been my HOH, 1,000,000%. But it wasn't. Because why? Production and Paul teamed up against me. It was a memory.
I hate hearing that.
It was a memory comp. And granted, I'm a little, yes, I'm jaded. I bring it up as often as I can. But I guess it's part of Paul playing the game and then production playing the game with Paul. So mm-hmm. we had to remember, it was like the tattoo memory thing where the three evicted house guests had body tattoos all over them. We had to remember front and back, all their different body tattoos. And they were going to ask us 10 questions about what we remember. We can only look at it for 2 minutes. And then, so I knew my strengths going into Big Brother would be socially. I feel like I can be pretty charming and I'm pretty smart. I have a very good memory. I did that because I went to a really, really, really academically prestigious school and I obviously didn't learn anything. I just had to memorize it for the test and then move on.
Yep.
So I am practiced at memorizing things. So right after we're done memorizing, they take the thing away. We all go spread to study. Like we want to like remember the things we just saw. We're like sitting in, I like go right to the rose room, get in a bed by myself. And I'm just like going over it, over it, over it in my head. Kevin comes in and he's like, Kevin. Oh, you studying, honey? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay, well, don't make sure you don't mess up. It's Santa Barbara, not Myrtle Beach. And I'm like, I swear it's Myrtle Beach. Like Myrtle Beach, that was on her. Then the next person studying little group in the bathroom later, Raven and Matt. Oh no, it's Santa Barbara. Then like Alex and Jason later, just kind of in passing, they're talking about it. And then it is literally an orchestrated from Paul, his group of people. He took them to the side and said, go tell Elena this one wrong answer. Don't mess up anything else. Just tell her this one thing is wrong. She has that one thing wrong. She's misremembering it. Now, Mark didn't have that much memory. Like, it's not like he was like, okay, this is my comp. But he was the only one telling me, I don't think so. I think, like, you should trust your gut. Like, I think it was Myrtle Beach. The first question, the very first question in the HOH was that question. I was the only person that got it wrong. The only person that got it wrong. And they could have asked us 40, 50, 60, 70,000 different types of questions based on what we looked at, but they did not do that because, well, number one, maybe that's just a little bit more dramatic for the game. Like, are they showing that Paul's trying to be sneaky on TV? And so like, oh, he got Elena. Or is it that, you know, production can hear everything that we all say. So when I'm in a room by myself with Mark and I'm like, I am gunning so hard for this HOH. This is my HOH. I know I can win it. I'm going to put up Josh and Alex and try to backdoor Paul, like have this whole plan. Maybe they don't want that to happen because they want to get their money's worth out of Paul because they paid him to come back as a vet. Maybe, I don't know. And then also maybe there's the element of the Thursday right before the votes of Ramses going home on Jess's HOH that I figured out something was hinky. And I went up to Raven, Matt, and Paul in the middle of the living room. And I said, is there something going on with the votes? And they're like, what are you talking about? I said, is there fucking something going on with the votes? Is there something you're not telling me? And they're like, no, Elena, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, cute, cute, cute.
We'll see.
If there's something going on with the votes, y'all are going to be pissed later tonight because I'm going to do something about it. Because I knew I was going to win that HOH. First question. I was out on the first question because production chose to ask that question first and they did not want me to win that HOH. They do it right in casting. Like honestly, and I will say this, like in support of Big Brother and going off of, I have a lot of friends in reality TV from a bunch of different shows and networks. I've filmed on a different show and network. I see the differences. I respect Big Brother and CBS the most. I think that they do the best job at keeping the game as anyone else. Obviously on some shows when there's not like money at stake, like what are they, like what's MTV up to? You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. you're not going to win $1 million for like making out with Aubrey O'Day in Malibu. Like it's, that's not, but they want drama. So they're definitely going to manipulate some stuff. Their producers on set standing there saying, hey, Elena, why don't you come over here? And why don't you talk to so-and-so and so-and-so about this? And we want to get that on camera. They can't do that in Big Brother. They don't speak to us.
Yeah.
They don't tell us what to do.
They so is the only time you like see any other person when you're in the diary room, or do you even see anyone in there?
See no one. The only time you ever see another human being that is not a house guest with you is sometimes during an HOH comp. They'll have, they
clean up people.
No, they're like the people making your life more horrible. So I don't know if you remember the wall comp on my season, going up and down and up and down. There's shooting like water and like green slime goo and like all this stuff. And then the air fog, and then they're lowering. And so there's people like up pretty far away, up tall, like on this like ledge, kind of looking down on us, controlling the comp a little bit, but they're like, you know, you can't really see them. We don't get to speak to them. They don't speak to us. They wear sunglasses. They do not look at us.
Wow. I know someone who knows.
A doctor will come in.
Okay. I know someone who knows like a comp producer for Big Brother.
Ooh, any tea?
I want to get the tea because I want to be a producer on Big Brother. Obviously I'm a huge fan. So I'm like, hello, like I'll send you my resume.
And then I want to
get more tea.
We don't see them, but there are 6 different story producers. Like there's a lot of production going on Big Brother. I'll put in a good word for you.
Please.
But so we do talk to different people, and then all those people kind of are working on different shows. There's 3 shows a week. 2 of them are working on
each show.
And so they have shifts from, it's like 5 to 5 and 5 to 5. Mm-hmm. Everyone, you probably know that working in production. So they'll wake us up at 3 a.m. because that's that person's shift, and they need to get this part of the story for what they're producing for their episode. And let me tell you, when it is 3 a.m. And you're tortured by this game already, like mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually exhausted, overwhelmed, like hungry, can't nap, like haven't seen the sun in 4 days, cold shower, and they wake you up at 3 a.m. and they're like, hey, can you, let's talk about this. And I talk about it, and they're like, but don't you think that maybe like this? And I'm like, not really. And they're like, but don't you? And I'm like, okay, what do you want me to say? Because I'd like to go back to bed.
Yeah.
And we fight that a lot. I fought that a lot. And it's not like they were really trying to manipulate us or be like, because they can't. That's the rule. They can't. So I would call them out and be like, are you trying to make me say that? Because I don't know that I feel that way. And they're like, no, we can't do that. We're just trying to get a better understanding.
Were there ever any points where, so like, I kind of noticed that, and I saw a lot of Twitter feeds this season with Derek X. He got the money from America, like the BB bucks, and he was in the diary room, and multiple times he had said, oh, I think there's a secret alliance. Like, I think I might need to use my BB bucks. Like it felt like they were asking him these questions, but he still didn't play. And he ended up going home that week. And everyone was like, production was trying to let him know without letting him know, like, hello, you're the target. Was there ever any of that where you were like, oh, I should have listened, or I should have been more like, oh, they were trying to maybe tell me something?
Yes. But at the same time, what y'all see from the diary room is little sound bites, little few second clips. What we do in the diary room is sometimes hours, you know?
So he could have said that in a blimp and like had a million other things to say. Exactly. And he doesn't even think about the one thing he said.
Yeah. Because, and they're ultimately just asking so many questions. Sometimes we just go in there and just talk and say, this is how we feel about something. And they're just getting as much as they can, taking all of that and then using what works best for their narrative.
Yeah. Or what ends up like happening.
Yeah, exactly. So, sometimes there'd be things where I'm like, are you trying to hint something at me? Like, are you trying to, and then other times I'm like, well, you literally just asked me 57 different questions. So like, how am I, like, which one am I supposed to be like, it's tough. And it's really a mental warfare thing. You are back and forth. Nothing ever feels good Nothing ever feels good in that house, no matter how confident you are, no matter if you're the damn HOH, it is like, I could go home this week.
Yeah.
It just feels like that. So it's there, and that messes with your head. Like, I went into that house with a plan, a plan that didn't have a ton of plan, because I knew that you kind of have to chameleon with the whole experience and adjust as you go. But man, I'm really disappointed in my performance, because I get in the house and I'm like, wait, I could actually maybe win this money. Like, there are not that many people here. One of us is going to win this money. That's, I could do so it. Crazy. And then it like messes with your mind, dude. It's like every decision you make now, I was like way more, I'm like, should I do that? But what if it messes up? So I feel like I like played way more low key than I would have played had I not had that, like, had it not gotten in my head like that.
Yeah.
Oh. And all I want to do is play again and be like 100% Elena. But I mean, they will never ask me back on the show. I know this. I still ever, you know, I get asked all the time, would I go back? I'm not going to lie. Like, of course I would go back. We all, again, are so narcissistic that like now I'm disappointed in my performance. Like, I feel like I have to prove myself. Again, so I want to prove myself to myself and to America and to all the people that think I'm a dumb bitch, that I'm not a dumb bitch. Yeah, I'm dying to do that, but I am not going to be asked on Big Brother. So don't hold your breath.
The Amazing Race. I don't know. Have you ever thought about doing that?
Oh my gosh. T, are you ready? So after the first season filmed of Amazing Race, after Big Brother, was Jess and Cody season.
Mm-hmm.
26. I actually don't
know. There's so many of those.
So many. Yeah. And the same with Survivor. I'm like, what season are we on? 41? Jeez.
Yeah. But crazy.
But what was he saying?
Amazing Race.
Oh, see? I even took my Vyvanse this morning because I was like, I'm podcasting, gonna need to remember stuff, like, oh, short-term memory, help me out. So maybe my Vyvanse hasn't kicked in yet. But what was I saying? Oh yeah, Amazing Race. Deadass. I am really a lot super unhinged. So Jess and Cody got to do Amazing Race right after, because Jess didn't make it to jury, so she was out in the real world, able to kind of prepare for stuff like that. Then production, CBS people were coming in and sneaking Cody, like, hey, will you fill this out? Jessica was like getting his passport from his parents, and they left to film like 4 or 5 days after we finaled out, which I can't even imagine that. I'm sure Jessica had time in between, yeah. And Cody is like a robot, so I guess it didn't really bother him. Never mind. They were
going to say, yeah, he seemed like he has a daughter, right? Hello, goodbye. Move on, next.
Yeah, he's on a mission, and rightfully so. I mean, they won $1 million, good for them. So the next season after that, we'd obviously all been out of the house, that we got out of the house in September. This would have been, I want to say in March, maybe February, but I want to say March of the following year. So around the same time that I started casting for Big Brother, and they called me and asked if me and Mark would be interested in doing Amazing Race. And in my mind, I'm like, I don't do well on planes. And like, it's like not even going to have like a tablet to like, how many hours are you going to sit there? I'm like, oh, I only get one bag. Like, it didn't really appeal to me. Mm. But at the same time, this is a way to prove myself. Not the game I really wanted to play, but still game. It's a game. There's still physical, strategy, social, luck. It still kind of combines a lot of the same elements. And I have my alliance, Mark, perfect giant man. We're going to do great, except for anytime we're in a boat together. and Mark was dying to do it. He was dying to do it. And I'm like, how freaking cool. Like, I'll probably just like ride an elephant or something. Like, this was an opportunity of a lifetime. So obviously we say yes. Mark is like very jaded from reality TV because he cast for Big Brother 4 times. He made it to finals this season before he made it and thought he was on the show and then didn't even make alternate. So he's like jaded by that. I'm not. They reached out to me and they were like, hey, we want you to cast for the show. And then they're like, okay, cool. You're amazing. You're on. And I was like, that was easy. So I don't have that same fear in my mind, but Mark was just, oh. So he made sure, he was like, is this a maybe? Like, are we on? Like, what's the deal? They guaranteed us a spot. We were Team Purple. They flew us out to California to get like all the same casting stuff and like whatever shots we need to go to France and wherever else, and all the same psych and physical and everything. And we bought shit. We've been training. You know how many purple shirts I have? Damn, 2, because you can't pack that many, but still.
You bought purple shirts. You probably didn't have any before that.
Yeah, I didn't. Purple's not really my color. I have now some purple bandanas, like some really expensive, like Lululemon air dry fit stuff, so I could wash it in the sink or the river or whatever, in an airplane bathroom. So we're doing this shit. It's 4 days until we fly to LA for Start City. We've got our bags. We spent hundreds on teaching Mark how to drive stick shift because neither of us knew how. And they don't just let you do that for free, apparently, ever. So you have to like rent a car and like pay for lessons, pay for both things. And then, yeah, 4 days before we were supposed to leave, I get a call from one of the people, like the head of the Amazing Race casting team that I haven't even ever spoken to at this point. And she was like, hey, bad news. Are you with Mark? And I was like, not right now. And she was like, well, unfortunately we're going a different direction. And I was like, oh, okay. So we're starting in like New York, or what do you mean? Like to like Arizona, like how much of a different direction? She's like, no, we're going to go like you and Mark aren't on the show. So it's going to be like a different direction as far as like who's on the show. And I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to go fuck myself then. Thank you so much. Turned down like 8 weeks of work because I mean, I can't do ads while I'm in Africa. And so I've literally spent money and missed money because they changed their mind and Nicole and Victor took our spot. So they literally raced around the world with my name on their mic pack and on their fanny pack. And like everything that they have, I'm pretty sure says Davies on it. Even my passport now still has like, honestly, I'm leaving it there because I can always tell a difference from my passport, anyone else's, because it's like Amazing Race labeled with my name. And that was pretty devastating to us, just because we sat there, we watched back so many seasons. We were plotting, planning, strategizing. Like we would sit there all day and watch Amazing Race and talk about what we would do in different scenarios and really worked on our communication skills. That didn't work on that enough. Yeah, it sucks. I probably will never be interested in doing Amazing Race at this point. Like it seemed cool then to do it with like my man and like my BB Alliance man. And I loved him so much and he loved me so much. So I thought, and then Jess and Cody had just won. And we were like, we're going to do it. We're going to get in there and we're going to fucking win. We're going to show America that we are like badasses. Now there's really no point for me. I would rather play Survivor, honestly. Yeah, I mean, I would die, but like,
yeah, I couldn't do that, but that would be
at this stage in life, in the world, if it's my time, it's my time. You know what I mean? Like if I have to go out there, I have to go. At least I went out doing something
that you love.
I sort of loved. I don't like rice that much, but like the game is cool.
No, that's really interesting. Oh, that's icky. I don't like that.
Yeah. And it didn't just happen to us. It happened to, former Survivor people. Technically Kayla Beast Mode is former Big Brother, but he was gonna race with Ty from Survivor, and then Corey Brooks and James Hewling from Big Brother season 18, they got cut. There was a few of us that got cut like really, really last minute. Wow. I think me and Mark might have been the most last minute, like that. Yeah. Was like very last minute. So yeah, I mean, it sucks, but that's I mean, you probably get it. That's showbiz. Like, I don't know why they changed their mind exactly. Yeah. But they don't give a fuck about me. That girl Liz that called me, she does not give a fuck about me. She gives a fuck about her job and the TV show that she is making. And I am no longer an asset to her there. So dump them and move on, you know?
Oh yeah.
Mark's next big thing is he wants to be on the challenge. So that's why we agreed to do X on the Beach, because it's like a filter show. And I'm like, I'm not really gonna probably ever be cast on the challenge. I probably wouldn't be very good on the challenge. They're probably not looking for me. Like they want this big giant man. So I feel like I kind of sacrificed a little bit there to agree to do the show in support of, number one, I still loved him and wanted him back. So I'm like, yes, I'll do this for you so you can go on the challenge potentially. And now that's all I hear. All my DMs are just like, when's Elena going to be on the challenge? And I'm like, y'all know that I had spine surgery a few months ago, right?
Yeah, like that's not your that's not your show.
Yeah, I really, I mean, it is overwhelming my DMs right now. Every time I do a Q&A, it's like a lane on the challenge, lane on the challenge, lane on the challenge. And I think they are missing some comedy and personality there. But I just don't know how I feel about jumping out of a helicopter into an ocean full of sharks.
Yeah, I would never. And I do agree, though, that it is very, I mean, the people they cast are very like, like they don't have a lot of that, like,
but then it's like comedy. Natalie Negrati is not somebody you think of that's like, I'm gonna go beast mode on comps, and then she's on the challenge and she performs well. Same with Davon. Like, I would have never picked her to be like somebody who's like, I'm gonna just fuck it up on the challenge, like, let's go comps, check out my bicep. Like, what?
Yeah, Davon? That's true.
No, even, I mean, everybody they're picking it's kind of Fessy makes sense. Honestly, Mark made sense. Josh, even I was kind of surprised about it at first, makes a lot of sense now. I don't know what they're, I mean, I know right now they're really focused on bringing in rookies that are some kind of a minority. So I think that's a big part of their choices, but still it's really surprising sometimes to see who they pick. They could use some comedy. They should get somebody that's like big and can compete, but like is almost as funny as I am. So they have some like Greek chorus quippiness to the confessionals.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. I guess just your thoughts on this season. Like what are you thinking? Who do you, I mean, there's not that many people left, but are you happy with the ending or?
No. Congratulations to Xavier for winning. You know, like, congratulations to him. I think it is deserved. I know he wants it really bad. Really, really, really bad. I know that because I know people that know him that knows he went into this season really wanting it. So that makes me happy. I am excited to see the representation. Like, we're about to have our first Black winner. Let's go. Well, is that true?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, it is.
Celebrity Wait. Big Brother.
Yeah.
Had
yeah. Tamara I don't count but, Celebrity Big Brother. Yeah. Some people do, I guess. But in my mind, like traditional Big Brother, this is a really iconic season. The cookout, everything about it is so different and interesting. But at the same time, as somebody that likes to watch a game and all of that, it was very predictable. It was very, I don't know. I mean, some moments, I guess, were kind of crazy, but I don't think that Big D has any reason to win. I don't think that Azza has any reason to win. I don't watch it. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't. I physically cannot do it. I keep up very closely, though. Like, I am the girl on Twitter that's literally reading every conversation and, like, looking at the, like, spoiler accounts on Instagram, watching the live feed clips, because I have to know, but I cannot hear Julie Chen tell me anything at all. Or when Big Brother pops up and he's like, how's good? And I'm, nope. Nope. No. Because I am out of Xanax. And they prescribed me so much this year that I can't get any more. So it's a no for me, but I do keep up closely. It was an okay season. It really didn't do that much for me.
Yeah.
What about you?
I agree. I was so excited by the representation, and I'm almost like, I was talking about this to a friend. I'm almost mad about the cookout in a weird way, because there were people in the cookout I just didn't like. Mm-hmm. And I would have rather seen like Hannah, Tiff make it to final two with Claire and Derek X. You know what I mean? And so
I would have loved that as a final four. Yeah. I would have loved that.
I really like the idea of that. And I wish, like, I love the idea at the same time as of the cookout.
I'm just as conflicted as you, I think, because it's like, yes, like we are looking for this representation. This is something that Big Brother most shows has needed.
Yeah.
Needed, right? But then because that was such the point, it's like it was almost forced. It's like they're,
yes,
to me, it's like casting is hearing America really fucking light up about this. So they're like, okay, so we're gonna get a lot of representation this season. And then they know that's their purpose on the show. So then they all link up together to make that the thing that happens, yeah. You know, like. And it's just, that is a little boring. And then it's like, so are you linking up with people because they're good players and you have a connection with them? And like it's not organic. It's very forced. And then to me, I'm like, you're not going to let Claire into your alliance because she's white, but you're not going to let Derek into your alliance because he's Asian. Like, these are people that are going to play the game well.
And could help you get to the end. Like that, mm-hmm. if you want Tiff, if you want to be the first Black winner, maybe it's not in your best interest to align with Derek F and Xavier or Kylan. Like, it could be, oh, I'm going to use Claire to get there, or I'm going to use, you know, whatever to get there. I feel so conflicted in that. And I just tweeted this like a week ago. I was like, the saddest thing about the cookout is that they're going to leave the house and like half of them are not going to be friends because they hate each other. They are not people who would get along in real life. They are not Mm-mm. friends. They had no connection inside of that house. They betrayed people who they had actual genuine relationships with for people who outside of the house, they cannot stand. Like, Derek mm-hmm. F has made it very clear. He hates Tiffany, wants nothing to do with her. He made a list of people he liked from least to most in the house. And Tiffany was like number two, as far as like people he liked least.
Who did he like the most?
Frenchie. Shocker.
He was there for 5 days. How do you know literally that you like him that much?
He is obsessed with Frenchie. It's weird. It's weird. There's a weird vibe there. But I'm like, why in no alliance in the history of Big Brother are people aligning because they hate, like when they hate each other?
Yeah. And unless it's a very strategic move, like I would have loved to see like my season, Jessica and Alex, like halfway through the season, be like, okay, yes, they wouldn't ever see it coming. We got to get Paul out. Something like that, where it's like, I hate you, but we need each other this week because we have the same goal.
Totally.
That was never Alex's goal. And, you know, so it didn't happen. But yeah, there's an element of like, oh, that's kind of fun. But yeah, why? I don't want to work with people I hate. I mean, I did for a little bit, Raven at the beginning, but that's mostly because I thought that like, if I wasn't nice to her, I would be canceled. That was not a correct assumption. But yeah, it's really frustrating to see that there is one reason that they're in an alliance and they don't even like each other. Half of them aren't even players. And
I guess, I'm just so frustrated because I was like, even from the beginning, I was like, there are three people from the cookout I want to win. And there's a 50% chance that none of them are going to win. And that makes me sad that like, because
Wait, who are your three?
X, Hannah, Tiffany.
And Tiffany, same.
Yeah. And I'm like, the fact that there is now like a 66.666666% chance that Azar or DF is going to win this game is horrifying that they did, Derek F literally won zero comps. And if Azar wins this HOH, she will have won two.
Mm-hmm. There's this like tiny little part of Elena Davies that kind of wants Derek F to win just to watch like all the madness unfold. Like, everyone would be stoked. We would be hearing about it for a decade. And I'm into stuff like that.
Same. I love chaos.
Yes. I'm like, more please. I think that would be honestly hilarious. Like I would have a laugh at that.
I mean, I think, any situation where X doesn't win will spark like truly an insane amount of what just happened. Like,
okay, but think about it like this. I mean, sorry for spoilers, guys. If you're not into spoilers, don't listen to a Big Brother podcast. That's on you. X has the first HOH. Azza has a second HOH.
Yep.
So now, what if? Now, probably not, but what if Azza wins the HOH?
She's sending X home.
Is going to take the strongest player left to final two with her? Or is she going to take the dumpiest player that has not won a single thing and napped through the season to final two? Because my bitch ass would be like, all right, Derek F, buckle up. We're headed to final two. Yeehaw.
Oh, she'll take Derek F 100%. And then like, she'll use her one double eviction HOH as her resume. And then she'll say, I got the biggest competitor out of the house.
Mm-hmm. And I won the final HOH.
And I stayed loyal to my number one the whole time doing it. She's working.
And she would win, you know? So And oh, same with X. Who do you think X will take? Big D. You know, like that's the
X easiest. Will take like, Big D, which I think is stupid because at that point you'd win either way. So it's kind of like throw a bone to like the girl who actually won some stuff, in my mm-hmm. opinion. Because I'm like,
I agree.
At that point, it's like, you know, you're winning. So it's not like, oh, if I take Azza, there's a chance she's no, you're winning. You're probably winning unanimously. Mm-hmm. Give this girl the $50,000 she deserves or $75,000 she deserves for winning the two comps or whatever, as yeah. opposed to this guy who, I mean, it's a slap in the face to every jury member who won a competition, which is all of them, to have Derek F get second place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not wrong.
I'm like,
that's why I kind of want to see it.
Oh yeah, they'd be, I mean,
I do not, because I will be pissed. I will be just as mad as everyone else, but I do because I'm like, I want to watch everyone be mad.
I also love, and maybe you saw this because you were on the show. Like I have noticed this every season since the beginning. Julie Chen Moonves is a huge fan of Big Brother. Like when she interviews people, you can kind of hear it in her voice when she like likes them or was like, why'd you do that? I want to see her face if like Derek F wins. Cause you know, she'd be like, huh? Like reading the things, just like Derek F. Like I want to hear her like fan come out in those moments. Cause I always love that. Like when people are evicted and she like loves them and she's like, hi. Or like when she doesn't like them and she's like, hello, take a seat. Like
for me, that I was that hello, take a seat. We went to commercial break and so you're just sitting there, right? In silence, like next to Julie Chen Moonves. And so I'm like, oh. She kind of looks at me. I'm like, good talk. She's like, my social media person's going to come around and get a picture of us. So we lean over and smile for a picture. And she's like, thanks. And just like goes back to her. Yeah. I don't think she liked me. That's fine though. That's okay. I'm okay. I don't need her to love me. I love myself.
Oh my gosh. And then Mark was evicted right after you, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it goes.
That's how it goes, man.
I was shocked Alyssa lasted as long as she did. I thought right after Christian got evicted, I said, this is how it goes. She's out. She's gone. Yeah.
But if people are smart, honestly, and that's what I think is silly, which maybe, if, I don't know, I would have, if I was in that position, kept Alyssa or kept Mark because look, or kept myself.
They're by themselves.
Like they're by themselves. They have no one working with them. Mm-hmm. So like what? So they either, they're just out there solo, just trying to get by, which like in when you're trying to save your life in Big Brother, you'll do anything. You'll like hop on a voting block with this other alliance to get someone else out as long as it's not you.
Yeah.
So if I was in that position and got rid of me or Mark and had one of us left in the house, I would have been like, all right, stick around for a little bit. I'm going to get out this other guy. I'll use your vote to do it. I'm going to convince these other three people that I'm way tighter with. And we're going to get out somebody that makes moves. And then we'll keep you around for whenever it's necessary or easy. Sure. It's always scary. What if I win the next HOH? Who am I going to go after? But there's so many of them to choose from.
Yeah, no, it's true. Oh yeah.
Such a complicated game.
Oh, it is. Oh my gosh. Well, maybe we'll see you all there again. Maybe
we'll see you on there.
Maybe. Or maybe I'll be the executive producer. I mean, I imagine you have to like the show to work on it because
you spend so much time.
Yeah. Like you are spending so much freaking time like watching, marking.
So like when I was on the MTV show X on the Beach, like I was mentioning before, we see producers, we see cameramen, we see humans. The audio guy, yeah, you know, and a lot of them you can tell like definitely live in LA, move there, they're really hoping to work on, you know, like the next Marvel series or whatever, but like instead they're like making sure that my audio sounds good while I'm making jokes about my love life on a beach with like a thing of candy. You look at them and they're like, fucking hate my life. Shit sucks. They're there. They're doing it. They follow me around the house while I'm like putting on my makeup and like trying to get my ex-boyfriend to bone me upstairs. And they're like, oh God. It, I mean, it's funny. Like, I literally will just sit there and look at their faces and I'm like, you hate this. That's so funny to me. I mean, I get it. I wouldn't probably want to be here either. Yeah, you want what you want. And I think I would be even better. I feel like a lot of the people, and that is the maybe another reason that makes Big Brother such a cool show and an anomaly in the reality TV world, is that the people that work on the show love Big Brother. They do. They love it. Like, they come up to us.
Like what you said, where they're like, they don't really want to try to manipulate because they're like fans of like the social experiment.
Yeah, they are. Everyone, and there's Big Brother has a huge crew. It is a huge crew of people, right? Like, so much goes into that show. And we finale out and we go to the like finale party, like on the lot. And it's just right down the road after we finish our like backyard interviews and stuff. And it's mostly just the crew. And maybe some of their friends, maybe AJ from the Backstreet Boys, like people that are super fans that were able, that know somebody to get in. And the crew is coming around like, oh my God, you're one of my favorite players. Like, can I get a picture with you? It's like, it's very funny because I'm like, you've literally been watching me fart for like 68 days. Like, you've literally just been like, I'm like in a room by myself and I'm like, finally, and I lift my leg and rip ass and you want a picture with me? I mean, okay. But it's just funny to me. Like, they see us in this condition and it's like the worst, kind of.
I love that. I love that.
But they love the show so much that they really love us for just being the people that played this game this season. And
oh, a big, I think that's cool. Addition I would add to my version of Big Brother is there would be jury live feeds.
Thank you.
There would 100%, like, why are there not? And there would be jury live feeds.
One of the executive producers after the show wrapped, I don't remember which one I should, but it might've actually been Big Brother, the voice of Big Brother. And I forget his name, came up to me and he was like, oh, fuck, why don't I remember this verbatim? He basically was like, you're a jury house legend. He was like, didn't go well for you in the house, but man, in jury, legend, icon. And I was like, oh, don't really know what he means by that. Because again, like, I don't know what, like, I stand outside, I talk shit about this person, that person, whatever, I'm laughing at people. I don't know what made the show, but I'm like, okay. And honestly, there's so much drama that still goes on in the jury house and so much gameplay, which is crazy to think about, that people, I honestly think that if there was jury live feed, it would be like a half and half of people wanting to watch jury and wanting to watch in the house. Like, there would be a lot of people that would miss out on gameplay in the house to watch jury live feed.
Oh, totally. I would 100%. And I mean, there's also like just the conversations about like who they're voting for and why. And like I know that conversation is not just at that round table. Like, obviously those conversations are happening from the minute people arrive.
I mean, they try to contain us. We have house managers, so it's still the same schedule, 5 to 5. So there's two adult human beings in charge of us 24 hours a day at all times. And we're not allowed to talk game because they don't want us to talk any game unless a camera is there so that they can get the content, so they can use the content. And we only film on Fridays, all day Friday, but that's the only day jury films. So the really? Whole rest of the week, they are like, me and Cody and Mark are out by the pool and they'll like open the door really fast and be like, what are y'all talking about? Or, like, open a window up in the second floor and lean over the balcony. And we're like sitting there being like, oh my gosh, yeah, Matt. Like, what did he even do? You know? And they're like, no game talk. I mean, we still got away with it. Come on. What do you, there, especially the more of us that keep coming in, how are two people gonna, what are you going to do?
Funny. I did like, not what
are,
know
are you
going
to physically touch me? Are you going to put your hands on me so I stop talking about this game that just rocks my world? No, you're not. So,
okay. I've heard that, like, so once you do that round table, which I guess is maybe on a Friday, do you go back to the house?
No. So round table, and I don't remember what day it was on. It might've been a Friday, but there's no reason that it had to have been a Friday in that case, because that's our last day in the jury house. So they come, we get ready, they pack us up, we have all of our stuff, we leave, we get into our individual cars with our blindfolds, and we go back to the CBS lot, and then we wait in our green rooms alone.
So they literally blindfold you.
Yes, we don't see anything else until like the show is completely done. Like nothing. You're driving down the road, even in like casting, I'm blindfold on. I get evicted. I saw a dog on the lot when I was walking out and I was like, oh my God. But then I get in a car and I'm blindfold. I can't see billboards, not allowed to look out the window. Can't listen to the radio, just dead silence. Can't see anything. Can't hear anything. So we're back on lot and it's just a really long day. We get pulled together to film round table and it's outside hours because there's the host and then you have a whole production team on the other side and they have to make sure they get the right shot. And okay, let's redo that one. This is the first time we actually see producers in the Big Brother experience where they're like on hand. And then after we finish filming round table, we go up into the room I'm almost positive we did our finals in with the executive producers on lot. And it's like up these stairs, like a small room. And we sit down and we all talk with producers about what questions we're going to ask the final two at finale. Like if it's Christmas, we're going to ask this. If it's Josh, we're going to ask this. If it's Paul, we're going to ask this, whatever. That happens for a couple hours. They give us food. And then we go back to our individual hotel rooms and we stay there for another couple days. Is that true? Or do we go? No, I think that's true. It just hit me that I'm like, wait, do we go to our hotel room first and then we film in a couple of days? I'm pretty sure we filmed that day. And then we're like sequestered again for a couple of days. Like Mark is in the same hotel room as me, but can't call him. He's like trying to pass me notes through like the girl coming in to do our hair and stuff. They're sticklers about it. So yeah, we didn't see or talk to each other for another few days. And then same thing for finale day. We start to get ready. It's like a long day of filming. We're in our individual green rooms with our handler. You always have like a babysitter at all times. So even when you're like alone, like when I keep saying when we're alone, we're never alone. It's not necessarily always like a producer or like a house manager or somebody like that. It might be like a 21-year-old PA, but we have a handler always. We are never, like, cannot go to the bathroom unless you ask permission and are escorted there.
Oh my gosh.
It is locked motherfucking down. Locked down.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it's really honestly insane. I could probably blow your mind with even more like little crazy weird details that people don't always understand about the show in that capacity. It's odd.
Yeah.
And it fucks with you. And so then everybody knows that Big Brother's hard and you have to be mentally prepared. It's going to be all of these things like going into the house, right? You're like, okay, I need to get prepared for this really tough experience. Coming out of the Big Brother house, fucking hard. That was way hard.
Do they give you like mental health help or is it just kind of like, here you go, here's the real world now, bye?
Not really. There's technically like a show psychiatrist. We have to talk. There's like one main one. And then I think she brings in supplemental help during casting. So like we, I guess, have access to her, but I never really felt like she really even knew what reality TV was. I think that's just been her job for like 40 years. And so she's still just like, you know, asking us questions about how crazy we are and moving on with our life. They didn't really incur. It's not like they were like, this is her number. If you have any issues, reach out. Like, after that little party on lot, the night of finale, we get brought up to another room to actually where you go right after you get evicted, in like their office on the lot. And Sean Law brings us in one by one into the small office in the back where all our shit is. I was the first one to go back and she gives you your phone and says, and just here you go. And then you go back into the room. And once we've all got our phones back, she comes in and she's like, look, guys, don't read everything that's on the internet. You know, like, just don't read everything. You don't have to read everything, you know, and good luck. And she's actually my favorite producer. I adore her. Like, I love I love Sean though. Yeah, that's it. Don't read everything on the internet.
Have a nice life.
I had panic attacks the following days because I I was nervous to do anything. I always felt like, I always would say after my season of Big Brother, I'd be like, you know what Stockholm syndrome is?
Yeah.
Where you like fall in love with your captor. I obviously that's really dramatic, but it kind of, I think it's parallel enough to where you do get conditioned, right? So I'm used to now for months from March to October now, because they are strict as all from the beginning of casting. They say the game has started once you're really in casting, because you might see people, you can't speak to them, but like there is gameplay has started. They say that. So I've been conditioned from March to October that I'm not in charge of anything. That I need to ask permission to go to the bathroom. I'm not allowed to eat what I want to eat. I can only eat what they give me to eat. You know, like it really fucked with your head. And then all of a sudden too, Big Brother anomaly in the sense that our show, which I doubt I have to explain this to a Big Brother podcast, most of your listeners know, happens live. So it's not like we film, go back to our regular lives for 6 weeks, prepare for this big thing, watch it reveal. Unfold,
yeah.
get more and more famous as the weeks go on. I don't like the word famous, like recognizable as the weeks go on. Nope. We just get our phones back. We are already public figures, had 120,000 followers when I got my phone back. Half of them loved me. Half of them hated me. And people had been talking about me, all kinds of things about me for 101 days, all over the internet. And then you're like socially weird. So like, I've always been like a fun personality, good with people, social skills. Like I love being around people. I like came back home. I mean, before that even, I just was weird in every social setting. I was like, didn't know what happened in the world. So like the past like 3 months, I have no idea what's been going on in the news. Like apparently Texas flooded my season and everybody at the wrap party was like, is your family okay? And I'm like, what the fuck? Why are you asking me that? Is my family okay? Like, I don't know. I haven't talked to my mom in 3 months. Is my family? Why would you say that to me? Like, I have no idea about anything. And then we're just thrown back into society as famous people, essentially. Like, we show up to the actual rap party that they throw us. It's not for us. It's for fans that they make money. Not CBS. It's somebody else. I don't really know.
Like a club or something.
Yeah. And I got out of my Uber with Jason and Mark and Alex, maybe not Alex. I don't know.
What a squad.
Oh, Jason's wife. I don't know. I remember us four for sure. And I was like, oh my God, I'm Justin Bieber. Like street is full of fans, camera crew, like microphones, full, wow. Red carpet, which I don't know, we didn't need it because there were enough bodies on the floor that you couldn't see that it was red. And just over, Elena, sign this, Elena, blah, blah, all this, can I get a picture? Blah, blah. What did you think about this? And I'm like, I'm like very overstimulated. And then I was like, okay, I made it inside. I'm sure it's like, it'll get calm inside. 3 stories packed full of people. Like sardine style, can barely walk through. Like you cannot walk to where you're going without touching every single person you walk past on the way. And that was hard.
Yeah.
And that's the day after. Mm-hmm. Maybe 2 days after. I think it's the day after we finale out. And then from then on out, I even come back home and around like my friends and family, and I felt socially awkward. I'm like, paranoia.
Yeah.
I constantly am like looking around, who's looking at me? Dude, mirrors. Let me tell you about mirrors. Mirrors. Hated them.
Oh, not really. The cameras are in the mirrors.
They are. That doesn't scare me. I'm like, I love cameras. Honestly, put more on me. But we used all the mirrors in the house, which all of them were like the double-sided window thing for them to film through. And then also there's like normal mirrors in the house, like in a bathroom. The house is all mirrors. So when you're talking to somebody, say in the bathroom, you stand in a position and you are now looking at the mirror in the hallway that is reflecting the mirror in the dining room that's reflecting the mirror in the living room to find out if people are coming. Constantly, it is mirrors. I am looking for mirrors always. I would be in the jury house walking downstairs and I would tiptoe down the stairs because I knew like Cody and like the house managers were there. And I'm like, it's the jury house. I don't need to sneak up on a conversation.
Oh,
but
my
I still
gosh.
Felt like I needed to. So the mirror thing, I don't know what it is about mirrors. The mirror thing really got me. And obviously I'm Alana Davies. I am a narcissist. I am one of the most beautiful people in the world. So it always is exciting for me to walk past a mirror. You know, I have mirrors all over my house. My dining room table, the bottom of it, like the legs, the base of it, mirrors. Mirror, and then comes out mirror.
I want so, to be you. I wish I had that.
I have a mirror hanging. The only thing on my fridge that hangs on my fridge is a magnet mirror. So now, and I'm better now. I'm fine now. I'm mostly fine now. But for 2 years, everywhere I would go, I look in a mirror to look in another mirror to look to see. Like, it's just constant paranoia. It took me a long time to kind of, Big Brother takes over your world. It starts to take over your world when you start casting. You think about it constantly. You think about the game. You think about what you're going to do. Then you get in the game. You're dreaming about it every night. I dreamt about Big Brother every night for a year and a half, probably. In the house, you're dreaming about it. After the house, it's all you talk about online because that's all people want to talk about. That's all you're thinking about is your mistakes, what you should have done, what you didn't do. And so I dreamt about this shit every night. Like I couldn't get it off of, and it's just like filled with regret and I want to defend myself. I want people to understand that like they didn't see it all. And like, you know, and you're just like battling inside yourself and it's really frustrating. And then you're paranoid. I'm like, is somebody trying to evict me? And I'm like, no, Alana, I live alone. I own this house. No one can evict you. Probably. Oh, well, like maybe the bank. Oh no, the bank's after me. So now I'm like looking in mirrors. I'm like, where's Chase Bank, Wells Fargo? You almost here? Like I am, there's no logic to my brain after a while.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's understandable.
There are probably people that do Big Brother and cope a lot better afterwards, like Cody, who again has been through so much worse and like,
yeah,
is just like a mentally super tough and a robot man. But
yeah, I feel like you literally have to be a robot though to like leave an experience like that and be like, well, I'm okay. Mm-hmm.
And then everybody talks about it's just a game, it's just a game. But those are also the people I lived with for months. And so even when people I wasn't working with them, we would still sit, we would talk, I would make them food, they would make me food. Like there's personal relationships. Like me and Alex sat one day and just talked about like our faith and Jesus and all of this. And it's, you do build these personal relationships. It gets really clouded. And so then there's this whole other emotional element coming in that kind of fucks with your head, fucks with your game. I mean, they know what the fuck they're doing making that show. I'll say that. It is very, 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 very strategic for chaos.
Did they show you any seasons in Sequester? Mm-mm.
We couldn't watch it. I wish I would have sat there and watched Big Brother the whole time.
Yeah.
We could rent like movies, check them out, like movies. I wish they would have let us just watch Big Brother. I would have sat there and watched Big Brother all day.
Yeah.
All night. And it's a long sequester. It's 9 fucking days of sitting there alone in a hotel room with no phone, no TV, no like.
So that's when you lose your access then.
You lose your access when you're filming at home package. The second that they give you the key, which you always assume that's going to be filmed at the end of the at home, right? They're like, oh, we need to get this shot and that shot. And then it's like at the end of the day, get the shot where they give you the key. No, it's like the second thing that they do, or at least it was for me. So I really wasn't expecting it then. It's never 100% a guarantee, but I'm also not stupid enough to think that they're going to send a whole entire production team to Texas to not have me on the show.
They don't even tell you. They're just like, oh, we're coming.
They make it part of, they make it seem like it's part of your casting. So they're like, okay, this is the final part of casting. We're going to be sending out like a small camera crew to film like what your at home package would be. Do you want to just make sure it's really good? It showcases like who you are, like, you know, really do a great job, like pick the right places in your city to film at that'll whatever. And they make it seem like it's, this is it. So if you make it good, then you're going to get on the show. No, we're all already on the show. They give us the key. And the second they give you the key in that little segment is filmed, which was like 10 a.m. for me. I thought I was going to have my phone all fucking day long until I like, maybe even until I got to California. Yeah. And they, there was already, my handler was there. Handler was there with me the whole day filming. So I have a producer, camera guy, and an audio man, and a handler. And my phone got turned off and put in a like manila envelope, and I didn't see it until the end of September. So I had to sit on this plane the whole time with this stranger who, and they're very, handlers are weird. Like they're really not supposed to, I mean, they're not weird people. It's just a weird dynamic because they're not supposed to talk about themselves. So it's like, they don't, they really can't tell you anything about their life. They're, it's part of the rules. So I'm just sitting next to this gal and I'm like, so you got kids? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, oh, where are you from? She's like, I don't know. Have you worked in the industry long? Not sure. I'm like, okay, good talk. Good talk. Can't talk to anyone else either. You know? So it's like a mind fuck. And then you get in that hotel room and it is very lonely and you don't get to leave. Like at least in casting, you can kind of leave for certain things. You have to check out. You're only allowed to leave at certain times. You have to check in with a handler once you like get to the gym or get to, you know, where you eat or whatever. But we cannot leave in sequester unless they pick us up, blindfold us, take our ass to lot and film like the title sequence or do a press or something. And then even when we're riding around in lot on the lot, like from press to press or filming the this part or that part, taking these pictures, we're back in a golf cart with our handler blindfolded.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. That's yeah. Like so crazy. So
that's the part of the thing where they're like, that's the start of the game. So like, once you get to finals and you start seeing, like I, in finals, I saw Jason, I saw Ramsey's, I saw Josh, I saw Dominique, I saw,
I've heard like, that.
So, but we don't speak to them. You will cross them. If it's, we have the same,
because well, like, you also don't know, like, day. Are they also on, like, that's what Rockstar kind of said. She was like, I wasn't sure if these people were like also being cast, if they were being cast for another show, if they were producers, like.
Oh, I knew every single one of the people I was around in finals was being cast for Big Brother. And that week is weird because you'll see these people, right? You'll see them. And then as the days go on, they dwindle off. So, like there's this one guy that I had seen a couple of times. And then this is not supposed to happen ever. They go out of their way to make sure this never happens. But I was going to, I think, eat. I think it was going down for like lunch or something. So I have to call, be like, okay, I'm going to do my lunch now. It's 2:00. That's my time that I'm allowed to. And you go down and you have to check in with the handler at the lunch spot and give them your initials, like ED checking in, because they don't want anyone to overhear your name. So I get in the elevator to go down, and in the elevator was this guy that I had seen in the casting process a couple of different times with his suitcase. And it was just like, and we kind of had that moment. We didn't really speak, but I realized what happened, that he
got cut.
And so we just kind of acknowledge each other and like bye. So it's weird. Like you're seeing these people come and go, then you don't see them. And then you're all, everybody at the end is all on the lot together. The last day, the last 2 days, we do producer EP interviews. It's a long, it's like a 10-hour day. And you have your interview and what, it's like 15, 20 minutes if you're funny. And then you sit in this big room at like what, plastic tables and chairs for the whole rest of the time, not allowed to speak to anyone or do anything.
But you can see them all.
So that's where they're like, that's part of the game starting. And then sequester, it's part of the fucking game. They're like, people quit in sequester. That's why they always have extras, because there's usually not often, but like people quit in sequester because it's so hard to sit there alone for that long and have no control over your life, have no control over anything. Oh, you're completely out of control and in the hands of people who are making a television show. It's not even like they're for you. You know what I mean?
Right. So they're not like on your team. They're just there.
Yeah.
So did you have enough time to like let people take over like your social media, or was it just like, oh, bye? Like no, sign back in
later. I knew. I was pretty aware when I was on the show, and it was about 2 or 3 weeks before I found out. I knew I was on the show in May, into May. After it was definitely after whatever that weekend holiday is, Memorial Day weekend. Is that the one? Mm-hmm. It was after that, maybe a week, after, a couple days after that, the Wednesday after that weekend. And that's the night that I knew. I mean, they didn't tell me, they did not say.
But you were like, okay, I need to start getting my ducks in a row.
I was already getting my ducks in a row. You have to start getting your ducks in a row like halfway through casting, because there's so much you have to do. So I had already bought a ton of stuff, kind of laying out stuff. You have to buy 3 months worth of all the products and everything you use, because you don't get a refill, you know, like you get zero luxuries. So if you like run out of your favorite body wash, they're not going to get that at Ralph's for you. You get the fucking $1 swab that's in the storage room, that you don't get what you want. That is the whole point. They are stripping you of everything you want.
How many bags can you really bring?
One.
Oh,
one bag. Granted, fucking huge. It was as big a bag as I could find. I had to pay like $160 to ship it there on the plane.
So you get like your suitcase and then your little big brother duffel that they like show.
Mm-hmm. And we don't get the duffel though until we're there. And that's what we get for move-in day. So we can bring a few items that we need into the house, so we have it. And then they start bringing in our suitcases at some point in that day and just leave them in the storage room locked. And then once they're all in there, they'll unlock the storage room and we can get our bags. But yeah, so like I had literally already been doing things. I had already prepared, like I had to get a post prepared. So like, cause I had like 28,000 followers on Instagram when I went on the show. I was very active on social media, on mostly Snapchat, especially back then. And way back when.
And I know, people don't even like know what that is now.
I know, I'm so old. It's embarrassing. And I was on this radio show that was a very big radio show. It was based out of Dallas, but it's syndicated in 80 markets. So it's all across like middle America, and, you know, millions of people listen to it. Not that I'm like the main character, but people know who the fuck I am. And they follow me on Snapchat and on Instagram and on Twitter to get this like behind the scenes of their favorite morning show. And like, you know, they're starting to get to know me and they like me. So they want to get to know me more. And like, people, I was silent on social media for like 12 days. No, I wasn't. Because then think about it like this. When we're done with sequester and we move into the house, well, I guess they do announce it right around there, but we don't have live. It's not like airing like immediately. So people aren't seeing me like on their TV, like, oh, that's Elena. No wonder she hasn't texted me back. I was just dead silent on everything. I got back to my phone and like people who I like very close to, like dudes I was like boning, were like, are you okay? Like messaging me on every platform, like text, email, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram. The one guy sent like a like snail mail. I opened it up. He's like, are you well? Because I was
so
not
like
there.
You're not allowed to tell anyone that you're going on.
Mm-mm. But then I had my post prepared. My best friend and my mom knew. And, they posted my thing for me the day that I was on. I made my Twitter and my Instagram private because that's what Big Brother told us to do and told us to like not really do social media. Like some people you would think like have someone running it, but they were like, no, just, you know, keep it private, like whatever. But then other people started unprivate, like their humans at home running their account unprivated them and started posting kind of like, woohoo, we're rooting for, you know, so-and-so, like go team so-and-so. So then my friend Teddy was like, okay, so should we do that? So they started posting on my story and I think like maybe resharing people that tagged me. But yeah, you have to, that's what sucks about it is like, you kind of are already committed to the show before they commit to you, but with what you have to do to prepare for it, because it takes so much preparation.
Yeah. Holy cow.
It's a lot, man. And sequester sucks.
Oh, I
the bet. Show sucks. The show sucks. The filming the show sucks. They make it look really fun on TV because we're like in and out. They're showing all the fun stuff and the games and the game talk and the competitions and us outside giggling. But like we're outside 2 days a week. We just sit in rooms. People are like, what do you do in the Big Brother house? I'm like, well, sometimes we sit in this room. And then after we've been there for a bit, we sit in this room.
And they don't let you sleep, right, during the day? Mm-mm.
And you can't go to bed until after 10. And the lights can't go off unless everyone in your room is dead silent. Because if people are awake and talking, they want to be able to record. Potentially use that footage. I mean, they're recording 24/7, but that's not going to be great for CBS primetime on a Wednesday night. So there's definitely like a lot of challenges, but then again, we as humans are so adaptable. We adapt so quickly. And that's why I think it kind of fucks with us long-term, because we adapted to that being our house so quickly. People are like, how do you do it? Just being on TV all day, every day. It's like, it must get in your head. And I'm like, yeah, a little, but then at some point that's just your house. That's mm-hmm. where you sleep. That's where you make your food. That's where you poop. That is where you do everything. That's your home. You don't leave there for a long time, all day, every day. So then at some point, yeah, having a mic on, it doesn't even faze you. Like at the beginning, it's hard. You're getting used to this thing. They're like, please don't drop the mics in the toilet, because people forget that it's on and just pull their pants down and the mic falls in the toilet. And it happens. Didn't happen to me. I remember specifically it happening to Raven. And then it's like, anytime you're laying on the bed, like, don't obstruct your microphone if you have whatever, you're wearing a necklace. After a little bit of time, that is second nature. When you get on the bed, like even for months after Big Brother, the way I would sit and position myself would never be in a way that could obstruct my microphone, because it's just, you adapt to it. That is your new normal. So that became our normal. Wake up at this certain time, change out your batteries every day. Do this, do that. And then we're on such a schedule with when comps are played, when we film certain things, you know, live eviction. It is very, that is your normal. That is your home.
Oh my God.
It's weird, but it's cool. I mean, to an extent.
Totally. Yeah. No, I mean, it's an experience that not that many people have. So
yeah, I'm so grateful for it. Some of my best friends in life, and that will be my best friends for the rest of my life, I wouldn't know if I hadn't been cast on that show.
Like me.
Yes, exactly like you. Exactly like you. We would not, there wouldn't be a chance in the world that we'd be best friends like we are now if I hadn't been a flop on BB19, you know? But okay, tell people how, we kind of mentioned at the beginning, but tell people how this happened.
Yes, they're in the car. I messaged you because you were wearing the cutest sunglasses I have ever seen, ever. And it's funny, I was actually just at a store looking at a pair that looked almost exactly like it for like $500. And I was like,
don't do that. That's
no,
silly.
Like, I'll wait. Like, maybe I'll get them as like a treat when we like move to LA, cause I'll need sunglasses or whatever. And then I saw yours and I was like, oh my God, she's never going to see this message, but I'm going to ask her where she got her sunglasses. And then you messaged me a link and I was like, oh my God, like, or you posted on your story and you're like, did you see I posted it? And I was like, yes. Also, while I have you. I'm a huge fan. I honestly was like, I'm just going to tell her I have a podcast so that she knows I'm a big fan, but like, she's way too big for me to even like bother to ask about coming on. So I was like, oh, I'm a huge fan. I have this Big Brother podcast. That's how much of a fan I am. Like, I'm not some girl who's like, I saw you on TV and whatever. Like, no, I'm like a fan. Like
you made a point to be like, you're one of my favorites. And I was like, ha ha ha. That's what everybody says when they're in my DMs. And then you're like, no, like you're literally one of my favorite ever of your season, like of ever. And I was like, oh my God, I think she might not even be lying.
No,
and
then it's true.
And I think I was like, then why haven't you invited me on your podcast? Like, I'm your favorite, but you haven't asked me on your podcast.
It's kind of funny. I messaged people who I was like, oh, I won't be hurt if they don't do it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, if they ignore me, I'll be like, oh, that was sad, but I'll move on from this. But like, if you had ignored me.
Yeah. You never want to meet your heroes for that reason. Right.
Yeah.
Because that's a big letdown. Luckily, I'm honestly, and it's shocking, but even better kind of IRL one-on-one. So that's great for you. It's great for me. But I honestly, like, I was excited when you said that you had a podcast and that you loved me. I love talking to people that love me. Are you kidding? I mean, have you met me?
It's nice. It's nice.
Yeah. I'm like, fucking hype me up, sis. Honestly, I'm honored. And that's exactly why too, after I was like, why haven't you invited me? And you're like, oh my God, what? Like, yeah.
Will you be on my podcast? I didn't even know that was a thing.
And then I was like, okay, here's my email, emailing, because I can't guarantee that you message me again on Instagram that I'm going to see that and be able to respond or whatever. Like you could get lost. I'm like, email me and someone will for sure open it and read it and respond to you. Not me, but someone will. I'm so glad you enjoyed it. I really did too. It was fun to talk to you. It's fun to talk to like anyone who loves me TBH, but also who loves the game. And it's fun. It's kind of fun for me to talk game with someone who watched my game and has a different maybe perspective of things, doesn't know all the things. I get to hear some of your thoughts about it. Like that was really interesting for me too.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, I'm even more obsessed with you than I was before. If that's that makes possible. Sense.
No, I knew it would happen. That's what always happens. Like you love me and then like you actually get to meet me and I'm great.
You're great. You're so
I
great.
I also could vibe pretty quickly with you from, I mean, I just like had good feeling. I was like, this girl's cool as shit. I'll probably have a really good time chatting with her and I'll like her even more than I liked her on the internet. And it's true.
Thank you. And I will talk to you soon.
Okay. Love you.
I love you.
Bye. Bye.
I'm Madison McGee.
And I'm AJ Christensen.
And to beat the best, evict the best. Don't take them to the fucking finale. On the Block is a production of Yes Studios.
Music is by Harrison Amer.